Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Deadliest Catch, Storage Wars, and ISO Truckers have two things in common. All exemplify unscripted television series at their most unique, and all generated through Fremantle Media's original productions unit. Original Chief Executive Phil Siegel joins me next. The most celebrated animal vet on the two has something to celebrate tomorrow night. Jan Paul's activity on Nat Geo Wild reaches 100 episodes. Tim DeVall, executive producer of The Incredible Dr. Paul, watch that milepost with us next half hour. Also ahead, writers keep talking New Deal, a date for El Chapo, and our latest classic trivia question winner with that winning answer. Hello, everyone, and happy birthday, Mom. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. And once again, a very happy birthday to my mother, who celebrated whatever age she is at right now, yesterday. So thanks, Mom, for everything you do. Love you always. And I'm happy to surprise you this way. And for everyone else, welcome to the program of All That Television. Glad you're here on this Friday afternoon, 47 degrees at the top of the hour here in the New York metro area. Fun show for you, all about the world of unscripted television. And we always invite you, and we hope you are, invited to be part of the program. Take the invitation, ring up us at this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Let's get involved with our chat room. SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webber, our friend from Philadelphia, already is in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And we will have Phil Siegel from Original Productions joining us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Nitty-gritty time with a new Writers Guild of America contract with television producers. It's off then tomorrow night with no deal or no overtime on negotiations. Guild officials may begin the process of organizing a strike when the current agreement expires in May. Both sides are facing each other at the moment in Los Angeles, and we will update what results Monday afternoon. Chicago gets a two-way television festival of its own, April 4th and 5th. The emphasis, comedy series creation. New York Television Festival is organized this event once again, a two-day festival, April 4th and 5th. And Univision will debut El Chapo, its drama collaboration with Netflix, April 23rd. Univision Storyhouse Entertainment organized the series, with Marco de la O playing the notorious drug cartel leader. El Chapo will be presented in Spanish with English subtitles. And that's news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, the chief executive of one of the top producers of the unscripted world, Original Productions out of Fremantle Media, Phil Siegel. Phil, great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here. And can I also give a shout-out to your mom? Happy birthday, Mom.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Mom. See, we all care about you here, and so does the TV world, too. So, you know, if it wasn't for our parents, we would not be around. So, happy birthday,
right,
Mom. And thank you, Phil, for the birthday greeting. She really appreciates it. I know she does. Down in Boynton Beach, Florida, along with my dad, too. Phil, where are we at with unscripted TV? We hear a lot about scripted TV, peak TV, you know, hundreds of shows now being produced. Where do you think we're at in the unscripted world?
Well, I think we're evolving. I mean, it's not a very old genre in terms of its success. I mean, obviously now, from a programming strategy, we have an enormous part of the programming block of many networks. So we are emerging as a very critical part of the programming strategy of a lot of major brands. But I think we're still evolving. So if I had to say where we are, we're in the incubation stages, and I think there's a lot of exciting things on the horizon for us.
Such as what?
Well, I mean, we're consuming content at the speed of light, and we're seeing so many opportunities to access this content on so many different distribution platforms that I think it's giving artists and storytellers another way to show us and reinvent the way we tell stories. And I think we're seeing that in a lot of the content we're seeing now, and so I think that's going to continue to evolve as shows continue to evolve. I mean, when you look at, for instance, one of our shows, Deadliest Catch, we started out life as an observational documentary, and we've sort of morphed into more of a soap opera as the characters became more familiar to the audience. So I think these things are ever evolving, and I think we're going to continue to see that.
Well, Deadliest is about to go into its 12th season on Discovery, Emmy Award winner of so many other awards. Why do you think that series, even after 12 years, continues to draw curiosity with people in such a big way?
Well, thank you. I mean, it is truly a unique brand. It is lightning in a bottle. We found an incredible proscenium. The Bering Sea is an incredibly vast and epic place, pitch black sea, and it is a thankless world. And these fishermen are going out in all kinds of weather, 40-foot seas, and the decks of their boats where they work are lit up by these beautiful green sodium vapor lights, and they are all wearing orange slickers to make sure that they are seen in that black environment. And these, more importantly, are, you know, they these characters are fathers and sons, they're brothers and sisters and daughters, and so they are the flesh and blood that makes this world so light up, and I think their story is an incredible story. The tradition, the rich tradition of obviously fishing, is a tradition that will continue, I think, well into the future. So we bring the audience to a world every week that is incredibly unique and incredibly dangerous, but more importantly, it is a world that is inaccessible to you and I. So I think that all of these things, they're sort of thrown in a pot, give this the recipe for the success that it has.
Sometimes you find that a particular world that unscripted television sheds the light on comes in clumps. We have a number of shows that happen. You have a show like Deadliest Catch, and then you have a bunch of shows dealing with fishermen in this part of the world. You had, take another Discovery Channel phenomenon that we've been covering a lot, Gold Rush, you had all these shows that deal with Alaska. You have shows that deal with the transgender population, like I Am Kate and I Am Jazz on TLC, and I Am Kate on E! And so forth. And now, for example, with CNBC, you have this sort of series of shows dealing with sort of Shark Tank-type situations, whether it is the Texas Billionaires or Marcus Liotis, who tries to make the profit out of the business. Now he's trying to get a partner in the current show. You're on CNBC with Jay Leno's Garage. I want to ask you more about that in a bit. But you find that sometimes you have to, when you have everybody going after the same idea or trying to exploit it different, to showcase it in a different way, that you have to find a way to rise above the crowd.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it will always be a fact that the idea is sort of, it's the boilerplate, right? I mean, everybody can potentially come up with a great idea. The key is always going to be execution for us. There are many instances where we haven't necessarily been the first to the party with an idea, but we'd like to always think we're the best. And I think that storytelling and good characters are always going to be the fundamentals. But it is getting, make no mistake about it, it's getting harder and harder to find those particular niches where no one has looked under that rock. But I really think at the core of all of it is the power of curiosity, the power to tell stories, and the power to evolve ourselves from an entertainment perspective. So I think we're always going to be challenged by the fact that we're going to have a lot of neighbors and a lot of other very talented producers chasing the same ideas. But I think it's really how we look at the world and how we execute those stories that I think will always be the difference.
How does an idea like Storage Wars, which ran for so long on A&E, or something like Ice Road Truckers that ran on History. How did it come to the forefront in the first place?
Well, every show really has a story behind the story, and Ice Road Truckers was one of those things where the History Channel was just sort of building its brand at the time, and the now CEO of A&E Networks at the time was the general manager of History, Nancy Dubuque. And she was very interested in exploring some of their own sort of back catalog and seeing if any of those things would evolve or could evolve into a television series. And Ice Road Truckers was one of those. There was a modern Marvel that was produced quite a few years ago called Suicide Highway, and it told the story of an ice road. And she was always fascinated by that and thought that it was a powerful sort of place to look for story. So the founder of this company, Tom Beers, and myself, we actually scouted the original ice roads, and we drove hours and hours out into nowhere to look at this. And we came to the conclusion that these were people sitting in trucks driving 15 miles an hour doing absolutely nothing. And that was sort of the kind of top line. But when you tried it to – when you dug in and you really looked at it, you realized that there was so much more below the surface. Obviously, literally the surface they're driving on, sometimes 700 feet of water, 30 inches of ice, carrying these incredible loads through ridiculous conditions. It was not only a lonely existence, but it was literally if you dropped off the face of the earth, you were never going to be rescued. So we really felt it had the bones of an incredible story. We were just very lucky to be able to have our cameras come onto those roads and evolve that into the show that it is today. I mean, going into season 11, which is remarkable. With Storage Wars, it was slightly different. We were looking at companies that hauled junk away. And it just so happened that a company that we were following was hauling junk away from a storage locker one day, and we saw we were watching footage, and we saw in the background of a shot a huge crowd, and we didn't know why that crowd was there. So we dug in, and we realized through an investigation that the crowd in the back of the frame that we were shooting were actually at an auction, and we learned about those auctions. And for us, it seemed to be a really interesting access point for a treasure hunting show. So that was really the genesis of Storage Wars.
This is saying that in that situation, you sort of take, and Ice Road too, you sort of take the Charles Perrault on the road approach, where he would just be traveling the nation's byways and highways. He'd be thinking about going one place for a story, but he ends up going a totally different direction, and he ends up with an even better story.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and I think that is really the underpinning of great producing and great storytelling. We have to be curious about the world that we live in, and we've got to go out there, and we've got to see what it is that it brings us. I mean, there are so many times where we have met incredible people, talented people, and wanted to cast them for a very specific reason, but found out that their side job or a friend that they have or some other family member or some other aspect of their life was equally as amazing or deserved to be looked at as, you know, as a story. So it really is. It's that magical experience that I don't get bored with even till today after doing this for 35 years of meeting amazing people and finding amazing places to tell stories.
Live this half hour from Los Angeles, Phil Siegel. He is the chief executive of Original Productions at the Unit of Fremantle Media, dealing with unscripted television. The credits include such shows as Deadliest Catch, beginning its 12th season on Discovery Channel next month, and J-Lo's Garage, which is now, I believe, in season 2 or 3 on CNBC. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Amber Van here with you live on this Friday afternoon of March 2017. Glad you're with us, wherever you may be. Checking us out along the Blog Talk Radio highway and byway. And if you have a question or comment, for Bill, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're going to wrap up the month with 3 episodes of our program next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, all at this very hour. And we have a sensational lineup of guests coming your way, starting right off the bat on Monday. But my lead guest will maybe be one of the biggest breakout stars of this year. Her new series, Rebel, premieres on Tuesday night on BET. The star of the show, Danielle Monáe Truitt, will be our lead guest. And then we'll meet someone who's a co-host of a series that is getting played both on local television stations and smart TV sets and devices. It's a daily show called Live from Studio 6B. It's produced out in Long Island. That's where we'll find co-host Vincent Buda. And next Wednesday on our special edition of the show, I'm delighted to say that my lead guest, someone who we've wanted for a long time, the co-executive producer of American Crime on ABC, working with John Ridley, Michael McDonald. He's also involved in Ridley's latest program, the new Showtime miniseries Gorilla, that premieres next month. Michael McDonald of American Crime in a rare live interview next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Many of your shows, Phil, tend to deal with groups of people in a particular profession. Is that by design or by choice or by just that's the way the ball bounces?
No, I think sometimes it is by design. Oftentimes, ensemble is a really interesting way to not only tell stories, but to obviously get into play and conflict and points of view. So it's always fun when you can find a family or a group of people who do what they do, and they're going to do it regardless of whether our cameras are there or not. And so they make a recipe for really great television. But it really depends. It is more challenging to find single leads, people who can carry a show for an hour or half an hour on their own backs. They certainly are out there, and there's some very talented people who can do it. But it certainly is a taller wall to climb.
Well, you certainly have one with Jay Leno and his series on CNBC, which is doing quite well. How has Jay adapted to the idea of doing a series dealing not with celebrities pretty much, but with his favorite passion, cars?
Well, Jay's, if you, it's interesting, you know, I had only known Jay through The Tonight Show, and I knew that he collected cars, but it wasn't until I got to know him a little better and obviously work with him on Jay Leno's Garage that you really truly understand that that is not only a passion, it's a life force for him. He is a genuine connoisseur, but he is a genuinely passionate collector, and his knowledge of cars and the relationship he has with his cars is extraordinary. And it is a great privilege to do that show with him, but to see somebody who, as a very talented comedian and artist, he genuinely has this incredible passion for cars. And so it made it easier for us to really sort of find a place to come in and hang out with him for an hour, because there's so much to learn, there's so much to know. And obviously, because of the friends and the people along the way that he has met, they make that part of the experience. So he is, yes, genuinely one of those unique people who have so much charisma that you want to hang out with them for an hour. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, for many years, Phil, A&E had a flagship show called Biography. Long-time veterans of television know that it was a David O. Wilford production back in the 60s. It was revived once in the 70s in syndication. Then A&E picked it up, started making its own episodes, first on a weekly basis, then on a nightly basis, and at one point there was Biography Channel. And this past week, ABC and A&E announced that they are bringing Biography back in a very unusual way, where it will be either 2-hour specials or miniseries, not just on A&E, but on History and on Lifetime. Lifetime is going to do more biographical movies, and History is also going to do a series dealing with American presidents on an annual basis in scripted fashion, with different producers doing a year series, where 1 year could be Ronald Reagan, the next year could be Theodore Roosevelt. I was curious what you thought about this new move by A&E, sort of a back to the future approach with bringing Biography back, albeit in a different form.
Well, I think that all of these networks, especially the A&E networks, you know, their brands are really critical to their success now more than ever. I think there was a move away from that a while ago, but now I think the reality has set in that these brands are really the gold standard for these networks, and they have to be explored and they have to be mined to the best that they can be. So. To bring back something like Biography in an extraordinarily new way, I think is really just an extension of obviously them looking after their brands. So I think that makes perfect sense. I think in terms of evolving these things, I think that's the key to all of this is the relevance of it, the relevance to this generation versus a previous generation. Clearly, we know and have seen in the last 10 years such incredibly radical experiences in terms of how we access our media and social media and how we understand the world that we live in. We started out painting on cave walls, and then we had incredible literature, and sadly today I don't think books are getting read. So the way information is shared and the way information is now going to be handed down from generation to generation is going to be through things like Biography, if they can find that potent way to memorialize amazing characters in our world and obviously leave them as a legacy for future generations.
Original Productions is the key unscripted unit of Fremantle Media. The folks are doing everything from The Price is Right, Family Feud, Let's Make a Deal, to the brand new dramatic series American Gods, will be premiering at the end of next month on Stars. And we've got Phil Siegel, the head of Original, on with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy you are aboard. If you have a question or a comment for Phil or other guests coming up in the next half hour, you give us a call at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're going to take a call, by the way, in a few moments. Coming up on our next Friday show, we're going to introduce you to a very remarkable woman. She is the lead player and an executive producer of a series that just received a Daytime Emmy Award. That show is called This Just In. You'll find it Saturday mornings on the Pop Network, and her name is Elizabeth Stanton. And we will have her live next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, part of a sensational lineup of guests next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Let's take a call, Phil. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, great to have you. Get on the line with Phil Siegel right now.
Hi, Phil. First, I wanted to say I love so much of your shows, and even classes I was taking a while back. I remember, especially for Deadliest Catch, I would take a lot of heat from some of the female teachers about that show because I loved it so much, and they just couldn't really wrap their heads around it in the beginning. They were like, what on earth do you love about, like, a crab fishing show? It just didn't make sense to them until I really explained it. So it was a good education for me about, like, what it takes to get behind and really dig the story out of something that doesn't seem maybe compelling, but yet it really is. So that's kind of my question for you is, like, when you send a camera crew out, especially if it's something where you're not sure there's a story there or you're not sure how good it's really going to be, like what do you instruct them to do, or like what are you looking for them to bring back?
Well, first of all, thank you for your question and your kind words. I think that the challenge is always to send people out into the world who, first and foremost, are prepped and understand what it is that they're looking for. But when you get to one of these locations, or you sort of start to dive into one of these stories, it's an evolving process. And I think the most important thing that these crews and these teams have to understand is that the story is everywhere. It's under every rock. It's behind every tree. It's behind every door. And we cannot assume we know every aspect of what we're about to see, or the story we're about to tell. So they have to be ready for everything and anything. Obviously, the camera should never be turned off because we never know what's going to happen next. And in that sense, we're really diarists. So I think it's very important that these teams, they stay alert. They have a real sort of fundamental sense of what it is that the essence of what we're trying to capture. And then we set them free to just look for and expect anything and everything. And it's through that lens that we're able to find the footage that we find and tell the stories that we tell.
Awesome. Awesome advice. There's a story behind every tree. So thank you. And thanks, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Have a great weekend. Rick, we have our friend from Philadelphia right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Something that's very clear, Phil, is that Netflix, which is now the biggest original programmer of scripted TV, wants to make an equally big splash in unscripted TV. They just started the Ultimate Beastmaster competition series with Sylvester Stallone involved. Have you started talking to them about their unscripted ambitions and being part of their deal?
Well, we do have – actually, we have a couple of shows in production for Netflix as we speak. And so we've really enjoyed the process of getting to know that team and having you know, the exciting opportunity to play in their world. I think for us it's just another opportunity to find somewhere else to tell great stories. So I think that as we sort of start to sort of define what their role will ultimately be in the next 10 to 15 years, we'll know a lot more about where their place in the world will be. But it's like everything else. It's a new frontier, like cable was a new frontier. And as it begins to define its role and evolve, we'll know a lot more as producers and an audience about how to, you know, how to sort of to perceive them. But right now, we're really enjoying the process.
And before I let you go, what's new coming up from Original in the months ahead? I mentioned Deadliest Catch, a new season coming up next month. What else is popping in terms of, let's say, a new series?
Well, we have several things. As I said, there's a couple of things we're working on for Netflix. One in the crime space, look for that is going to be incredibly compelling, and another one that will really sort of it touches on the world of forest fires in California. Those are a couple of projects that we're very excited about. We're also prepping a brand new series for Discovery Channel in the primitive technology space, and I'm very excited about that. And we're also prepping a couple of new shows for History and A&E. So there's a lot on the horizon, and I think more of the same for us, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And you know, the curiosity of that world that sort of hopefully will continue to attract an audience. So I'm excited about what's on the horizon.
And if you want to find out what is on the horizon coming soon and down the road from the folks at Original Productions, here's where you go online, www.origprod.com. It's www.origprod.com. And again, Deadliest Catch starts its 12th season on Discovery Channel next month. And don't forget J-Lo's Garage on CNBC and other shows on various networks from Discovery to A&E and History. Phil Siegel, the head of Original Productions, thanks again for joining us. Pleasure to have you on. Thanks again for the birthday greetings of our mom. And let's have you back on soon. All the best with you and your fellow producers and crew for a great continued success in 2017.
Cheers. Thank you, Simon. Be well.
You too, Phil. Have a sensational weekend. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Phil Siegel, the head of Original Productions, joining us live from Los Angeles. More Tomorrow Be Televised shortly, including going on the road to Mount Pleasant, Michigan, for Ted DeVall, the executive producer of The Incredible Dr. Paul. That's coming up shortly. But first, the fine words from the people at Audible.com. Tony Robbins has a new plan for your financial future. It's called Unshakable, and you can hear all about it with a trial offer to Audible.com. If you get involved at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you can get Unshakable by Tony Robbins or any free audiobook you choose and a one-month trial of the service. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, all categories, all genres to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, all you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, great customer service. audibletrial.com/televised. It's a sound experience that can last a lifetime. When we come back, we're going live to Mount Pleasant, Michigan, the home of the incredible Dr. Paul, whose 1st episode happens tomorrow night on National Geographic Wild. Going up, executive producer Ted DeVall. He'll be with us after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for motherhood in Hollywood. Join Heather Brooker, comedian, actress, and mother, for her wonderful adventures in and around Tinseltown. That's Motherhood in Hollywood every week, various times, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR will be 24/7 at YouTube.com. And you can catch our show and other BTR programs on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York on a beautiful Friday afternoon of March 2017, 47 degrees at the top of the hour. Another great guest coming your way over the next 30 minutes, and we invite you to part of the program. All you have to do is raise your voice and then raise up with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or get involved with our chat room, SimonApple04, right now. You will find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. The flagship show of National Geographic Wild for a number of years has been a program about a doctor in Michigan who is maybe the most unique veterinarian you will find anywhere on the tube. His name is Jan Paul, and on television, he is known as the incredible Dr. Paul. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, National Wild presents the 100th episode of this truly remarkable person. Joining us live from Mount Pleasant, Michigan, not far from where Dr. Paul lives and practices, we've got executive producer Ted DeVall. Ted, great to have you with us. Thanks for coming on.
Great, Simon. Thanks very much. I'm happy to be here.
How did you and Dr. Paul connect more than 5 years ago and 100 episodes ago?
Yeah, a while back, Nat Geo Wild decided to bring the show within Nat Geo, actually the infrastructure in D.C. So the production company that's been in place there for decades now took over Post, and that was my first involvement with the series. And, you know, I've just been growing within the series as we've moved from season to season and watched our ratings and so on perform, you know, very well. So it's a blast to be coming up on our 100th episode. It's certainly a rare milestone for a show to hit. And it's a shame that to have to call it work, because I know this sounds silly, but it's really just been a ton of fun.
Well, what does Dr. Paul think about all this, that someone who for all his life has practiced animal veterinarianism, if you will, to get this national platform to showcase his work, the unusual animals he works with, the unusual practices he does with animals, and to see it run for so long?
Yeah, no, this was as much of a surprise to him as to anyone else, quite honestly. You know, the genesis of the show is his son Charles, a big film buff, was working in L.A. in the industry and was sharing stories with a couple of his friends, you know, over their time together about his father and his antics and his job and so on and so forth. And as, you know, listening to these stories, the guys began to think, you know, that there's something here for a wider audience. So they went out and shot a sizzle, brought it back, shopped it around, and, you know, Wild execs were the ones savvy enough to see that this was worth an investment. So Doc went along with it. You know, Doc just is, you know, but again, he's so surprised by this celebrity, and, you know, because he tells people that he's just doing what he's doing. He grew up around animals. And he decided to become a vet, you know, when he was about 12, 13 years old, and pursued that. And as he, you know, went through schooling, he knew that he wanted to live in the States. And so that this happened to this guy, you know, in his 70s, is he's the one that's most surprised by it, that's for sure.
Why do you think the audience has embraced Dr. Pohl and what he does?
Well, the primary reason is his charisma. You know, he is completely, utterly authentic, and he lights up a room. There's nothing phony about the guy whatsoever. So I believe that the two things that work in concert to make him so popular are his natural charisma and his complete authenticity. And, you know, he in any other sort of arena, he could be, you know, the star, for lack of a better word. The thing that really helps tell these stories is the stakes are all real. The drama is not manufactured. The stuff that we sit down and work with every day in post, there's no fakery to it. There's no way we can script this stuff, because as Doc Pohl is fond of saying, we can't put the calf back in the mother. So it's that two things. It's the utter authenticity of the man and the authenticity of the stakes that he deals in and his other vets at the clinic deal in every day.
How do you determine what of his adventures, what of his practice do you showcase, as well as how much of the family life do you showcase from episode to episode?
Yeah, Doc and his wife Diane and Charles, they do let us, you know, work up some work with them on birthday celebrations or Father's Day celebrations, or if Doc is asked to be a parade marshal, or if he's given an award, which is pretty frequent. We cover those, but our bread and butter for our storytelling is following Doc Pohl, Doc Brenda, and Doc Emily on what they're doing day in and day out. So we do involve some of those thematic elements that are outside of the vet stuff, but we hew pretty close all the time to animals, because that's what Wild's about, animals first.
Terry Duvall is the executive producer of The Incredible Dr. Pohl. The 100th episode will be on tomorrow night on Nat Geo Wild. Things will kick off with a retrospective at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and then at 9 p.m. an hour later, the actual 100th episode, which will also mark, believe it or not, the end of the 10th season of this remarkable series. Ted joins us live, not far from where Dr. Pohl does his practice, Mount Pleasant, Michigan, this half hour on Tomorrow to Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Haven, New York. If you have a question or comment for Ted, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway, or catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Again, we've got three episodes to wrap up the month for you next week. That's next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And again, next Wednesday, we have a very special lead guest from ABC's Emmy Award-winning American Crime, executive producer Michael McDonald. We'll also talk to him about his work with John Ridley on another project, and that is Gorilla, which is on April 16th, a miniseries premiering on Showtime. On the second half of the hour, we'll take a look at a TV Land series premiering that night. It's called Nobodies, and Melissa McCarthy is one of the people behind it. We have two of the co-stars who are also executive producers, Rachel Romerick and Larry Dorr. That is all coming up next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, live and lively right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Ted, in your work with Dr. Pohl, obviously nature is involved, and as we all know, Mother Nature is not easily directed, to put it mildly. How do you deal with, and your camera people and crew, deal with the various situations that Dr. Pohl deals with? I mean, you can't foresee how long an operation goes. You can't foresee a reaction that's out of the blue that an animal will give to one of his treatments.
Right. So, and it's also, you know, there's also weather as a factor, which I know weather can be a boring topic, but when you're in an environment like this, it's all over the place, and that does compound things. But in terms of safety, there's two points that we are fortunate to have. One is Doc has an ability to read an animal. Many lifelong vets or people who work with animals do this as well. And so he's not going to let us get out in front of him until he knows that it's a safe place to be. And there are times where he detects that the animal, perhaps it's in pain, or perhaps with all these strangers around, the stress level's rising, he will, very firmly tell us back off and so on. So we follow his lead. We don't get out in front of him because that's going to be bad for him. It's going to be bad for the animal, and it's going to be bad for us. And he's very, very firm with his concern for safety for all. So he's usually the first person over the fence if we're dealing with a situation where there could be an animal that reacts in a fear-based or an anger-based sort of, reaction. So he's always the guy over. Charles is generally behind him. And most of the animals that, we're dealing with on the farm, if it's dairy, they're kind of like pets. And big pets, big dangerous pets. So we like to say our head's on a swivel. We're looking around for stuff that could hurt us. But, we've been fortunate to this point where we haven't really had anything beyond, bumps, bruises, and maybe some stitches. And none of those have had anything to do with the animal. It's like bashing your head on a low beam or something like that.
The Warner's episode tomorrow night deals with a St. Bernard who is rescued by Dr. Paul and his organization, and we find out that this dog has been abused, and there's a choice that has to be made once the treatment works. Do you find a family that will take care of this dog, or do you put this dog in a kennel or a pound where perhaps there might be abuse? And I'm curious how you decide that would be the 100th episode.
Well, Doc, when he was a boy growing up in post-war Holland, his family had St. Bernards. So this is a breed that's, goes right to Doc's very big heart. Doc loves all kinds of animals. He loves all breed of dogs, but the big ones, have a place in his heart. We've featured his Great Dane, his Newfoundland, and so this is a very special breed for him. So, and Doc really, he reacts to these abuse cases much in the way that any animal lover does, because at his very heart, he's an animal lover. So how do we choose that this was the 100th episode is basically the emotion and the tenderness that was completely evident to us when it was unfolding, in the moment. And it was a natural story to highlight because, again, of the inherent drama. This dog that had faced abuse, its kennel mate, another St. Bernard, basically died from heat exposure. It had been in a cement kennel with fenced in with little to no water and no rest from the hot, hot sun. So it's a sweet story. I mean, it is an absolute sweet story that in many ways wrote itself.
How often in the course of the series did Dr. Paul have to face similar situations where once you treat the animal, you have to sort of make a King Solomon type choice, go to the pound or the kennel or to some sort of, animal hospital or shelter, or try to find, try to be directly involved, either adopt the animal or try to find a family that will take good care of it?
Well, Doc works closely with local law enforcement, the various counties' animal control agencies. So that's really, how he would be brought in on what would be considered animal neglect or worse, animal abuse. And that can be anything from, cows, dogs, cats, that sort of thing. And it's a little difficult to say how often, because we don't shoot with Doc, 365. But there, it is definitely, I would say it's definitely a monthly issue. And then that Doc is typically not saddled with, as you say, that Solomon's Choice, because these animals are owned or they are in the care of law enforcement. So those decisions are, you know, are shared. Doc will give his best advice and best counsel. But it's really not for him to decide. If law enforcement has a specific request, which you'll see in the 100th episode tomorrow, you know, those cases don't come up all that often, I'd have to say, Simon. It is a little hard for me to put a number on, but it's not your typical thing.
One sort of running joke of the series, and it often comes out when press get the opportunity to see the so-called sizzle reel or preview tapes of that showcase the series as a whole, is when the good doctor has to go inside an animal to pull something out. I think there's like a stat saying that over his life, either over the course of the series run of the last decade, that's happened like 400 times, and every single sizzle reel that has to have that running situation. Does Dr. Paul get a chuckle out of that?
Yeah, Dr. Paul gets a chuckle out of it because, you know, where for you sending emails or, you know, working on, you know, calling up a friend or whatever, this is what he does. This is what he's been doing since he entered vet school, was donning a plastic glove and putting his left arm, you know, shoulder deep into a cavity, as it were. So he gets why it's hilarious. And he does tell the story of, you know, when he had his glove on and it had come out of probably the 25th orifice of the day. And he fooled one of our producers to high five, and the action of doing the high five basically sprayed, you can imagine, all over this guy's face. And so, yeah, he does get a chuckle out of it. He's, you know, he gets it, but also, you know, this is to him, it's so unremarkable as to be like a walk in the park for you and me.
10 seasons. And 100 episodes of The Incredible Dr. Paul, number 100, plus the Rexford special, takes place tomorrow night from 8 to 10 p.m. East Pacific Time on Nat Geo Wild. We've got Ted Duvall, the executive producer of the series. He's with us live from near where Dr. Paul practices his animal veterinarian work, and that is Mount Pleasant, Michigan. This half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Appleman, I'm here with you along for the ride. Happy you're with us this Friday here on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for Ted, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0-4-Bam. And coming up before the end of the half hour, we will have our latest Clapper Trivia Question winner, and we'll let you know not just who the winner is, but also the answer to the question in the first place. So stay tuned for that as well. Ken, when you put the retrospective hour together, how easy or how hard was it to pull it together? Were there certain things that you knew how to be there, or certain things that your fellow producer said you must have it, and then you had to unfortunately veto it out of hand?
Yeah, the retrospective was easy to conjure and not so easy to execute, because we certainly had no shortage of material to select for a retrospective that is a fond look back, and that is one of the challenges. We had so much to work with, but the mandate that I handed out and that my peers and bosses of the network, we needed it to feel like a special, even though it was a look back. We needed it to really smack and crackle and pop as a special. And I think by and large, well, certainly some of the feedback I've gotten from some of the reviews is we met that goal. And so the difficulty with these things really is winnowing down the cases that were remarkable and making sure that there's an appropriate variety throughout the hour, and that, you know, we're feeling lively and we're moving through the hour in which we do. But in this particular compilation show, we've done several, of course, it really had to stand out head and shoulders.
What has the series done, not just for Dr. Pearl, but for the practice in general? What have medical organizations that deal with veterinary work for animals or other doctors in Dr. Pearl's profession, how have they responded to the series, and what kind of feedback do they give you and your crew about here's some certain situations that maybe you should cover down the road in the future?
Well, we get a lot of positive feedback from the community that we're working in. There are, countless, hundreds and thousands of people, perhaps, who love Doc and what Doc does for them. And they, almost to a person, they refer to the phrase old school. They love Doc's old school approach. And, Doc employs the latest technology to do the work that he needs to do as efficiently as he can, but he has the old school approach, and he shares the wisdom and the common sense approach. Doc's big thing, he wants to heal these animals, and sometimes in his view you don't have to necessarily spend $3,000 to do that. So he looks for ways to help the animal get through what it's going through in a way that helps the client. In terms of feedback from other veterinarians and so on, I really don't have that. I'm not really dialed into that part of the landscape, but Doc has made lots of friends out there who are, backing this notion of affordable pet care.
Where does the program go from here, season 11 and beyond?
I mean, I could be glib and say to the next 100 episodes, but, we have always looked for, since we hit our groove and we knew that, a renewal was to follow, we've always looked for sort of bending the format where appropriate. And there are some things on the horizon that will absolutely do that. We've looked at, there was one Friday that we showed up at the beginning to shoot the day, and Doc worked from 8 a.m. till after midnight steadily on both, regular cases and emergency cases. So we spun that into a 24-hour type show to sort of mix things up. We had a cliffhanger of an episode, which is not typical for us. And the episode that followed, we just crashed right into the case where we, hung on the cliff from before. We're looking at things, there's a special episode coming up in next season. Basically, I'll tease everybody with just saying it's a homecoming of sorts. And, but we're always looking for adapting the storytelling while not abandoning the things that have made us so successful.
So the good news is more adventures coming over the next year and beyond. You can count on that. It can certainly count as well for seeing episode 100 of The Incredible Dr. Pearl. It's a two-hour edition, actually two separate shows. First hour is a retrospective of the first 100 episodes, and then the 100th episode itself takes place. And I think you'll find it very, very moving. The Incredible Dr. Pearl, tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Nat Geo Wild. Check your local list for where the network is available in your area, on cable and satellite. For more details online, here's where you go, natgeowild.com. It's natgeowild.com. Once again, The Incredible Dr. Pearl, retrospective at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and an hour later, the 100th episode. Ted Duvall, the executive producer of The Incredible Dr. Pearl, thank you very much for making the time to mark the milestone. All the very best to you, Dr. Pearl, his family, and your production crew. Thank you for what you've done for his career and for all of us dealing maybe a little bit more with the world of animals and how they should be treated. And we really appreciate it. And, of course, all of our best to Dr. Pearl and his family for many, many more years of great service.
Thanks, Simon. It's been a pleasure. Be well.
Same here, Ted. You too. Take care. All the greatest.
All right.
Ted Duvall, executive producer of The Incredible Dr. Pearl on Natural Wild, joining us live from Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Before we leave you, it's time to tell you about our classic trivia question of the week. And we have a winner, our third winner in recent weeks, and his name is Ryan Lerman. He's from Coral Springs, Florida. And here's the question we posed on the program 2 weeks ago. In what TV movie did Columbo first appear? In what TV movie did Columbo first appear? Well, Ryan came up with the answer on Tuesday morning, and the answer is from 1968 on NBC, the TV movie Prescription Murder. And believe it or not, It originally was a play by the creators of Columbo, Richard Levinson and William Link. So the movie was an adaptation of a play. And then came a second movie called Ransom for Dead Man a year or two later. And then, of course, in the 70s, Peter Falk went on to great fame and any awards aplenty as Columbo as part of the NBC mystery movie. But it all started with Prescription Murder, 1968 on NBC. That's the first TV movie that Columbo appeared. And we thank Ryan Lerman from Coral Springs, Florida, for being our latest Classic Trivia Question winner. We'll have another Classic Trivia Question for you on Monday's episode. And if you are first with the correct answer, you win. Maybe a prize, and certainly you'll get mentioned on our program on Friday's episode. So here's the thing. You get the question, and then you email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and your mailing address. First with the correct answer, you will win, and maybe win a prize along the way, too. And if you missed the question on Monday, don't worry. I posted Tuesday morning on my Facebook page and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. Again, thank you to our guest today, Phil Siegel, the head of Original Productions, Fremantle Media Division out of Los Angeles, and Tim DeVall, the executive producer of The Incredible Dr. Paul, celebrating 100 episodes tomorrow night on Natural Wild, joining us from near where Dr. Paul practices his work in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. We have three very special episodes to wrap up March next week on Tomorrow Show Live, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Monday, the star of the new BET series from John Singleton, Rebel, Danielle Bonet-Chewitt, and from the new daytime series, live from Studio 6B, host Vincent Buda. Next Wednesday, special episode from ABC's Emmy-winning American Crime, executive producer with Michael McDonald. He is also the executive producer with John Ridley of the new Showtime miniseries, Gorilla, that premieres next month. Also, from the new TV Land comedy, Nobodies, that premieres next Wednesday night, we'll have co-stars and executive producers Rachel Ramos and Larry Dorff. And next Friday on Bobby Televised, from the popular new pop series and Daytime Emmy nominee, This Just In, co-star and executive producer Elizabeth Stanton. And we also have Sony involved with The Kennedys, the new After Camelot spinoff of that Emmy Award-winning miniseries that will be coming your way next month on Rio's channel. That is all next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Bobby Televised. It's going to be a very special week, so be with us if you can every step of the way. If you can't wait on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, we make it easy. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast this weekend on iTunes.com. You can download your smartphone or tablet, take us on the go. You can also hear us on the Blog Talk Radio programs 24/7 at iTunes Podcast app on Apple TV. That's the Apple TV iTunes podcast app, available 24/7 on Apple TV. If you don't have Apple TV, go to a local Apple store near you or order it online. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today and the thoughts on the world of unscripted television? What's your thoughts on how unscripted is going now and in the future? And for that matter, all of television. We want to hear from you. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, UBCSimonTWBT. Check out BK Live here in the New York area, Mondays on Brick TV between noon and 1. And also check out my columns on the world of television at MediaVillage.com. That's MediaVillage.com. However you communicate, we love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow's Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. But Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Happy birthday again, Mom. And we'll be back Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe and great out there. Back Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, of course, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned. And happy birthday, Mom. Mwah. Love you.